Welcome back to Farm Talk. We're here at the Jamestown Civic Center. It is the Winter Ag and Construction Expo. And yes, it is winter. We all woke up this morning and looked at the temperature on our phones probably, and it said 21 below. I got out and the pickup said 26 below. I got on the I-94 to come to Jamestown, and it wasn't too long, it was 27 below. So it definitely, for the folks who are here, they are hearty. They are here for the day one of a two-day Winter Ag and Construction Expo, and Keith Rico of Dairyland Seed. You're probably here both days, Keith.
Yep, we're going to give her a shot tomorrow, see what the weather does. Weatherman, meteorologist, keep the wind down for me. So
I hope the wind stays below 35 tomorrow, but yeah. It's going to blow.
Yep. Now, where are those heat units, GDUs? We're looking, got some on order from you. Where are they coming?
Global warming. This is what the 2019 was the second warmest on record, and the decade of the teens, warmest ever. But not here.
No, not here. There's no water flowing down the street. The snowbanks are not melting. Yeah,
none of the
50-50 chance of you being right or wrong about that was like, okay, we'll take your 50% right now.
Yeah, thank you. Well, around Jamestown, they're quite concerned about some flooding issues. Yep. I think there's a lot of flooding anxiety. You're a stone's throw away from the James River there in northeast South Dakota. And there's a lot of prevent plant in your neighborhood last year.
Yeah, it kind of swells up from the bottom, and we've got some seeping going on now and a couple just down the road from our mailbox. And the elevation to the east of us, a mile and a half, is probably 50, 60 feet higher. And I got to think it's just kind of oozing out the side a little bit. I can't figure this. We haven't had temperatures that melted. I know that. Not like Rapid City today, 42, 44 degrees.
Isn't that something?
Well, it'd be a great time to go to the stock show, probably. 44 degrees, right?
Yes. So, yeah. Man, you had, a lot of people have PP. You had PPP.
Yeah.
You had PP in your pasture.
Yeah. No, we had like crazy cattle out there in the water. And somebody's talking about that. You know, the cattle in some cases didn't do as well out in grass because a lot of water out there and some lowland pastures and creek bottoms that were wet, basically.
Yeah.
So,
well, in northeast South Dakota, do you see with the situation, there's a lot of snowpack already. Don't know about the water content of that snowpack. I think it's at least normal, if not a little above normal. So do you see a lot of prevent plant again this spring?
Some potential for it. You know, we're going to look for your forecast for March and April to be, you know, 20 degrees above normal. The ground's thawing already, so we're in pretty good shape there. So
yeah.
There's no frost in the ground. So.
Isn't that something? And it's all...
That means we're only like 3 weeks from planting.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yes, but...
yeah.
If they're planting corn in Texas...
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah. Amazing. So what are guys wanting to talk about when it comes to seed, and particular Dairyland seed?
You know, kind of trying to make some sense out of what went on this year and what we should do. And I kind of see the one-third strategy. You just kind of say, guys, we always make sure we kind of make different plan of approach of varieties, a couple different selections, because we don't know what the weather's going to be. We didn't know this year's going to end up like it did. But take the top one-third things that worked out pretty well. I kind of sort some of those things out for guys. And the bottom one-third, try not to repeat the bottom one-third and try to repeat the top one-third in the middle is kind of probably in the gray area. So just work on some of that and look at some long-term data, see what's been working year in and year out. Some of those things kind of do that. And obviously, we have some wet going on in the spring. Make sure your phytophthora and your soybeans is very well. Some disease issues this year in soybeans, some white mold things going on. And make some defensive things are in good shape, because those are some things that can be cost-worthy to you and going to kind of slow down your upper potential. So kind of look at some of those things.
Yeah, now you sound like a football coach. You know, inside the 20-yard line, that's where all the, you know, games are won and lost. That 20 to the 20-yard line, those 80 or 60 yards are, you know, so what?
Yeah,
like you said, eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive.
Yep, basically doing that. And big thing we kind of make out is fertility, fertilizer-wise. And some guys lost some nitrogen last year, should put some stabilizers out there more, or maybe put some more nitrogen on in season, kind of break some of those things down. Don't throw everything out there at one time frame. We should just guys put on fall fertilizer, right?
Yeah.
And didn't get it planted. Well, you have a huge expense out there, not getting your value and your return back. And same thing can be done in timely application of fertilizer, those sort of things, and get hybrids that respond that way too.
I guess no fall fertilizing in the unharvested cornfields. That obviously did not happen. So, but man, there's still a lot of corn out there, isn't there?
There is corn to come off here and some stuff now. The moisture's coming down. Some of the stuff, some guys were out yesterday in 20%. So 52 pounds or 51 and a half, so it's gaining on it that way. So there could be some value there. I think I'm not a market specialist, but I'm going to make a pretty good educated guess that if everybody goes to combine their corn late April, or if they get pushed back till June, July, guess what? The basis is not going to be very good then.
Yeah.
So I would take care of some of that basis thing now, lock some of that opportunity. Maybe some people are already looking at that, but that would, I'd be aware of some of those sort of things to get some good information on that, maybe to make another plan there.
Yeah. Last year, farmers suddenly, in soybean seed, they had all of a sudden like five different choices for genetics or traits that they only had like one or two in years past.
Yep, definitely that's another good topic to bring up. A lot of things come and go, fads, and Enlist soybeans not going away, dicamba extends not going away, but agronomic specific to your farm needs to be taken care of and looked at very heartily. There's some things last year, phytophthora-wise, that were very costly to guys. That should be ranking at the top one of the things. We got wet soil conditions going next spring. Phytophthora, maybe again, if we have a high humidity situation, could create some issues for disease tolerance. So a defense-type package on soybeans, corn maybe a similar type thing. Make sure you get some early flowering on, make sure you don't have a late flowering hybrid. But soybean traits, look at your weed species spectrum. Plan for pre-emerge herbicides again as your number one thing in your post-treatments, whether Xtend or Enlist or R2Ys. Make sure that's a rescue treatment. Everything can be covered 90% up front. So,
there are so many decisions that a farmer is going to have to make here. Seed should be right up front there, right? The first thing they should choose?
It really is. I mean, you're going to choose, basically put your basic things on NPK, right, and some micros, and your planting costs are all going to be there. But the biggest variable out there is, like, you either want to be the running back or the field goal kicker, right? And
yep,
your chances of kicking from 55 yards and being successful, maybe not. But if they do a fake field goal, maybe you got a better chance at it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, or so, if it's a chip shot from 25 yards out.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah,
indeed. So, all right, well, keep it simple, keep it profitable, and, of course, take a look at Dairyland Seed. You guys have got some pretty good traits and seed variety selection coming up.
Hey, we're look back to the NDSU trials. We know this year was kind of a tough situation, but there's some data there. Still has some worthy stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that went really negative. You look at the Arthur or Galesburg NDSU trials, it's a huge swing there in performance on varieties. And our 07 enlisted very well there, 717. But you look at some varieties in there that are 15 to 20 bushel off. Make sure you're not getting those in the bottom one third of that pile. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It might be a great deal to spend $3 less for something that performs 20 bushel less. No, don't be doing that. So there's some great decisions to be made out there.
The farmers did the math real quick in their head when you just said that. So.
Yep, exactly. It's all there, and you can look at a lot of data based from a seed company, but look at some unbiased data too. Other than the first trials, those are still outstanding in their field right now in North Dakota. So
yeah,
some of those didn't get harvested, but the NDSU's got some data there. So
you mentioned the pile. How about the silage pile? You got some great silage corn from, and I guess from a company named Dairyland Seed. You better have good silage corn, huh?
Well, cows been counting on us for 110 years to feed them, so we can milk them and then or make steaks out of them and whatever. And that's the big difference right now. If the guys get out in the field, if the guys chop something that was not dairy specific or beef specific for silage, they may be harvesting too much stock or non-digestible fiber in there. So what they're feeding now in their pile might be 50 pounds of silage, but maybe digestible nutrients are somewhat less. So you probably feed 40 pounds or 35 pounds of silage specific variety from Dairyland or one of our high DFs. You get more value out of it, and in return get better gain from your beef doing that and better performance.
There are some silage piles this year that just did not ferment. And that's not the corn's fault, right?
No.
That's Mother Nature.
Yep. A guy told me here yesterday there was a guy probably chopped 3 weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure that didn't ferment. But think about this. I just thought about that in the back. So guys asked me about, well, was 55 or 52 moisture silage corn going to ferment? Eventually, it kind of did. It's like corn in the bin. If you put corn in the bin or wheat at 25 or 30 moisture, it's still going to get hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just takes a while longer. And if you leave corn at 28 moisture in your truck box, it might not come out in 4 days.
Yeah.
The heat process, the mechanical thing of going through it. A guy taught me that probably 30 years ago. Any mechanical process creates heat in harvesting of a crop. just like grinding hay. It creates a friction, a heat, and you eventually get a little bit of heating. Even a dry hay pile, the moisture of the bale might be 15-20%, but you get some heating going on. And there's some silage that may only get to be 120 degrees this year, but it's kind of a light tobacco color versus that deep silage smell you're used to. So
yeah. Oh, man, it's a great smell.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Feeding cows, it's funny, even on a day like today.
So. Exactly.
All right, and the cows love you, but what's the easiest way for producers to get a hold of you?
Hey, dairylandseed.com, got my contact information there, got some plot data. You can also roll back to last year's plot data and see more data on silage, and great information there, and feed nutrition values, too, on the silage is there for you that we've got. I think I looked at a summary last night of 350 different tests across the upper Midwest of the silage plots for dairyland seeds.
All right, super. Well, like you said, comparative data from 1 year to the next, important to look at rather than just the winners of the 2019 plots.
So. Sure, exactly.
All righty. All right, well, Keith Rico, Dairyland Seed. Again, the easiest way to find you?
Hey, dairylandseed.com or 605-380-5507.
And you'll be here tomorrow, and I assume you'll be at the Northern Corn and Soy Expo.
Yep, we'll be there, God willing. Get down the road. And that's the main thing, and we'll get along fine.
So. All right, super. All right, well, Keith, thank you. Always good to see you.
Yep, very good. Thanks, man.
Talk to you later.